how I like to go about the place. Yes?
I think the police were interested in a little bit of statements that Muslims needed to find a solution. I understand you're a humorous drunk at the moment, and I'm going to offend you by saying that, but your statements are beyond just causing frivolous offence, aren't they? They're to mask an extremely nefarious and actually violent agenda.
Say that again. They're to mask an extremely nefarious and violent agenda. Would you say calling myself a spaz is a violent agenda? Pardon?
Not what I said.
What did you say?
I said you called for a final solution against Muslims.
That's not true. I called for a final solution to Islamist terror in this country. And there are things that you might not want to hear, but those things are absolutely true. So Jim Ratcliffe, what he said was completely right. And to the point of our individual over here who said, why not refute the point? Why not go to the point instead of just asking people to apologise? Apologising doesn't deal with the facts of the matter, and it's never the facts that people go to. Yes?
Since you were talking about your right to offend...
Yes.
Would it be okay with you if I could use my right to offend you?
Of course, go for it.
I have to say...
Could you do less hand wiggling and do the talking?
What have you said, Miss Biggest Snob in England?
Okay. So, okay. No...
Order, please. Order. Order. Thank you. We can let the speaker continue.
I don't think that went so well for you. But I encourage points of order from the floor, and I don't want to humiliate you further than you've already humiliated yourself. So I think it's important that I move on. So if we were to measure offence, and then we find someone, the weakest person, to measure how much is permissible, some of you come pre-programmed with your offence already written into you. Someone in here, some pro-Palestine, pro-LGBTQ, pro-bisexual, queer, curious ally with a nut allergy is pre-programmed and probably freaking gluten-free as well. It's pre-programmed to be offended. And that is precisely the issue. Why are we not... No, Teddy. Why are we not... I'll see you after. Why are we not raising people strong? Why are we not challenging people and offending them to build them strong? When I went through the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, the point is that your sinews are tested and made strong by being tested. And the reason that people are offended, in truth, is because you touch upon something that hurts them. And it hurts them because when we don't know ourselves well, we can be offended because we are not strong enough. I urge you, good young people of the Cambridge Union, do allow yourself to be offended. Do know yourself, because when you know yourself, you can rise above it. And I urge you to let your life be full of all the feelings, all the dirty lot of it, including the ability to feel what it's like to be offended. My darlings, we will vote in support of this motion. This House defends the right. Oh, darling, don't be a twat again. Do it once. This House supports the right to cause offence.
I have a question.
Am I allowed? Yes, I'm allowed. Go.
I just have a question regarding why do you consider someone feeling their emotions to be a weakness necessarily? Because it's not about the fact that people feel their emotions. I
agreed.
How they interact with
100%.
Phrase it in a manner that just seems like whoever feels any sort of emotion is weak.
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
No, I agree with you entirely, actually. I think the ability to feel the emotion of being offended is so important in order to be able to understand why it upsets you, in order to be able to recover from it. And I speak this as someone who has been offended probably more than most. I was tricked into receiving an award.
All right, folks, that was Katie Hopkins doing what she does best, really sticking it to leftist idiots. I love that woman. Rex Jones in studio with me. Stay tuned, 90 seconds. We'll be
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Third hour is on with Rex Jones in studio with me. Make sure to go to shroomforce.com to support Rex, as well as his Instagram at Go Shroom Force. Go Shroom Force.
I really appreciate that, Harrison. What a chill intro.
Of course.
What a chill intro to the show. Thank you for having me.
I know. That jam was so good. Rex and I were just sort of bobbing our heads to it. Didn't even want to start talking. Lots of crazy stuff going on these days, man. What's on your radar? You just had a big show with Casey Putsch, who's running for governor of Ohio.
Yes.
You're hosting a lot of alternative politicians these days, including James Fishback. And, I mean, these people have to be the key out of the mess, right? We got to get people who are actually decent human beings and Americans elected because right now we're being run by a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I like seeing kind of the independent streak that's really grown and blossomed since 2016 within the Republican Party, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of time to leave the GOP and the Democrats behind and look for something else. But of course, people are still going to run in the two-party system. And these more independent-leaning candidates like a Fishback, like a Putsch, like an Aaron Baker, who's running against Randy Fine. We've also had him on the show. It's very fun and very cool to be able to talk to those people and actually, you know, share a platform with them. So very, very cool.
Yeah, and they're good, man, and they're doing, you know, major damage to the incumbents or the people that the Republicans choose.
Right.
And they all choose the worst people. I mean, all the endorsements. There was a big scandal over the weekend where TPUSA endorsed Greg Abbott and Donald right. Trump endorsed Greg Abbott. Well, meanwhile, you have Doc Chambers running, yeah. who's just so much better in every way. Greg Abbott has been a total failure, and now he's running for this unprecedented fourth term as governor. Nobody's, you know, served as governor that long. He thinks he's worthy of the honor, and it's like you've got Doc Chambers running, who should be president of Texas as an independent nation, as far as I'm concerned. But governor's right. a good start. What is wrong with D.C.? What is wrong with the GOP? Why do they get everything wrong every time?
I think it's what's wrong with the establishment candidates. I said this last night on the Gray Area show I do with Tim Tompkins on our Sunday broadcast. They want people that are just empty suits. And like, what does that mean? It's you wear the uniform. It doesn't matter who you are necessarily. You're a part of the Borg. You're a part of the system. You're a good unit. Right. You're a production line finished product in the political system of Washington, D.C. And ultimately, these independent or Republican leaning, but really independent streak candidates like a Fishback, like a Putsch, like an Aaron Baker, they come out of left field because they actually sound like a human being. Right. They're meeting with people on the ground. They're actually doing grassroots outreach. They don't have the $40 million that Byron gets or the hundreds of millions that Vivek has by nature. It's just them trying to make a difference. And if you look at Fishback specifically, he's close to within striking distance. You know, that's still very far away, but we're 6 months out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time.
And he's again doing major damage to the Republican candidate because he just represents such an obvious comparison where you just go,
well, it's a better option, right? It's what we thought we were getting when we voted for Trump, right? It's an end to the wars. It's domestic sovereignty. It's taking care of our own above other people. And if you run on that going forward into the future, especially with the pro-war stuff coming out of the Republican Party, especially after the, you know, kind of failed economic recovery that we've had You're going to win if you promise real solutions.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I'm MAGA, vote for me. Isn't that wonderful? It's like, you know, convicted murderer or something, like puppy strangler. I'm MAGA, vote for me. It's like, well, he's got the endorsement.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because both Casey Puchin and Fishback and some of these others, but these two guys stand out in my mind
right.
as being unapologetic, but in a way that works. Because a lot of people, they see that Trump says bombastic things, then refuses right. to apologize, and they kind of try to take that tack, and it doesn't work for them because it's not natural for them. I think even DeSantis is kind of one of these characters.
I think it's an issue of steak and sizzle. Right. Where like the complete package is both things. Right. Like you want to have the nice chunk of meat, but you also want it to be cooked well. You want the steam and the smoke off the fajita plate coming at you. Right.
Right.
With Trump, it's kind of become all sizzle.
Right.
Right. There isn't a lot of meat on the bone
there. Yeah.
And some of these candidates who I really like and other ones we're going to have on the show, I would love it if they won. But at the same time, even if you got a ton of the steak, you still need the sizzle. That's why I really like Fishback.
Yeah.
And Puch as well. They have that X factor you need to win.
Well, and it's just stuff like, you know, Casey Puch keeps going viral because the old smears aren't working anymore. And he'll be doing an interview and the interviewer right. will go, you've been called a white nationalist. How do you respond to that? And he right. goes, well, I'm white and I'm a nationalist. What's wrong with that? And, you know, it's just like, well, I'm just not going to apologize for things that you're pushing on me, right? I'm calling you this now. Apologize. And it's like, no, well, I'm not going to do that.
We left that behind in 2018. We rejected that because we saw where that led. Ultimately, it led to the COVID censorship and everyone being deplatformed. So we want to live in a world now where I see David Hogg making his like anti-gun push again. It's like, bro, everybody lived through the summer of love. Everyone lived through COVID. We know why we need guns now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very weird. And you see a lot of this, you know, the outdated ethos of kind of like, you know, they're trying to copy a 2016 Trump run, but it's really, you know, a Mitt Romney run or mm-hmm. a John McCain run. Even if you have the colors and the symbols, the substance has to be there or it doesn't work. And you talk about Casey Puch, you talk about Fishback, talk about all these other people. They've been successful in other fields and they come into that. Even Vivek.
Yeah.
No, even Vivek has actually done something. So, you know, I like to see competition between people that have achieved things
yeah.
personally.
Same here. And again, it's just if there is going to be a political solution, it's only going to come with the wholesale, holistic revamp of the GOP. Like
that's right.
Cleaning the slate and bringing in a bunch of new people. Because, again, we are stuck in this two-party duopoly. And it's
two wings on the same bird, man.
I mean,
it's crazy, bro. But it's true. That's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, so how do we deal with that moving forward? Because at the same time, because I always see people going, if you still think it's left versus right, you don't know what the hell's going on. But it's like, guys, if you think left and right is not a real thing, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, who's teaching our children to be trans? Like, is it? No, it's the left. It's the left wing of American, you know,
citizens. That's true, so but who wants the children to go die? It seems like the pro-war, pro-Iran conflict on the right. And like, I saw you covering it a little bit, not to interrupt here, but you talk about the conflict where you have actual military leaders and military professionals saying, sir, please don't do this. And they got Laura Loomer be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's probably going to go with the second option. So I view it as a betrayal on both sides, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and what is your take on that? Yeah, because it's the same thing of Laura Loomer going, Trump needs to denounce Tucker Carlson because he interviewed Mike Huckabee. And it's just like, why is this the biggest sticking point ever? Why can we – Trump denies Tavio Sims.
I find it interesting that people that read affiliate codes for money are in charge of our domestic or foreign war policy.
Right.
Okay, I find that to be quite shocking. You could say, oh, well, y'all are talking about war and conflict too. Yeah, we want to end it. We don't want it to be perpetuated. It's not our business model, right?
Right.
So why do these people, you know, whether it's a misfit patriot or a Laura Loomer or whatever, why do they go out there and feel comfortable making money off of death?
Right.
This is my critique, right? Is because when you're backing a war, when you're backing a conflict, even when you're saying we have to do it, we have to save the world from this evil theocratic regime, well, you're a hypocrite because you also support another theocratic regime that's killing people.
Yep.
So we don't get to pick and choose. How about as Americans, we can just say, it's enough already. We apologize. We're out. We don't want to bomb you anymore. And I feel like it's a very simple message. And to be like, to be anti that, you have to either say you're weak for saying that you don't want brave Americans to go do what needs to be done. And it's like that narrative has been busted for 30 years. It's been busted since the early 90s, since the Gulf War. right? Like it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. On the other end, you say, oh, you don't think we could do it? It's like, yeah, we probably could do it. Wouldn't it be better not to spend billions of dollars, though? Maybe even if we give it to all the people here and to give buy honey buns and they all get fat.
Wouldn't that be better?
I'm sorry. I'm okay with Wall-E people if it means that millions of people aren't going to die in nuclear hellfire. I think that's reasonable.
But yeah. Go ahead. No, but there is no argument for war with Iran. Like, they're not even making one. They're not even saying, like, we have to. I mean,
No. It's they can't have a nuclear weapon. Okay, they're not going to make a nuclear weapon. They have a fatwa against it. They consider it to be a religious crime. Okay, well, they can't enrich uranium. Okay, well, they say they're okay with Russia or China doing it. Okay, well, they can't have ballistic missiles that can reach Israel. Where does it stop? Where does it stop exactly? And in order to protect Israel's security interest in the region, which we say are our security interests, we have to go in there and carpet bomb the place because they won't give up their means to defend themselves.
It's completely absurd. And the latest, I don't think I grabbed it, but it was Witkoff, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, you know, we have to, you know, Iran cannot have industrial ballistic missile capabilities or something. And it's like, they're using the same phrase as nuclear weapons, but they just replace nuclear weapons with some other phrase.
They know it's the big words. People don't know what they mean. That's the goal. You know, it's a scary sounding thing. Looks like a YouTube short. I better vote to bomb the kid.
Yeah, basically that's it. It's basically just that they can't be allowed to have weapons. They can't be allowed to have anything to defend themselves. And it's just absurd. And they're starting negotiations on that point. They're saying to start, first you have to agree to completely disarm yourself, make yourself totally vulnerable to attack from us. Then we'll talk. And it's like, obviously, they're not going to fall for that. And the last 2 years has been filled with fake negotiations where we end up bombing the negotiators. We have, because we keep doing what Israel says, we're allowing Israel to act out of hand and bomb negotiators and stuff. We have no leverage whatsoever. We have no trust. We are screwed. All we can do now is either back down and look like fools or attack and start World War III.
Well, let's not forget the IAEA inspectors that went into Iran and were cooperating with them. The Iranians were working with them. And, oh, they give the Israelis and the Americans the military intelligence on where to bomb. Now, how does that work for long-term trust and relationships? I don't care. Ooh, we ganked them. We got them. We shivved them in the throat. Isn't that cool? Okay. Are you ready to shiv the next, you know, 20 nations in the throat, too? It's just, I'm tired of my country looking like a fool on the world stage, looking like an arrogant fool on the world stage. Got to be honest with you here. I want real peace through strength, which is an end to the wars, an end to the foreign conflicts. And I thought that's what I voted for. And I'm very, very, very tired of being told I'm a panikin, I'm a black pillar, I'm an XYZ, when I just want promises made, promises kept. You said you would not do this. I have to believe the only reason you haven't done it yet, President Trump, is because you know it's lights out for your entire career and legacy if you do this. Because let's not forget how many times you called out Obama, insulted his masculinity, all of it, saying that he would attack Iran because he needed to prove that he was tough. What's being done to you right now, Mr. President?
Wow, yeah.
That's my commentary.
No, you're...
Pisses me off, dude. Sorry.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, again, they're talking about starting World War III. Like, it is so
unbelievably
insane.
Like, it's just something that they're allowed to do.
And that they have to do. And that, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a good idea or not. It just has to happen.
It would be one thing, honestly, if Kamala was doing this and people voted for Kamala and she said she wanted to have the most lethal military, blah, blah, blah. If she wanted to do it, we could just call it out as outright evil. But because it's Trump doing it, and all the while saying he's pro-peace, pro-negotiation, you still have people trying to negotiate with themselves like a battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like maybe he'll stop hitting me. Maybe we'll figure it out. All you have to do, Trump, to really regain a lot of the support that you lost is to take those ships back home and say, we're not doing this. We're going to prioritize our own citizens. A lot of people would come back on board.
And it's like, what is the worst possible outcome from that?
Right.
Nothing. Like, well, what is the bad thing that's going to happen? Iran is going to be capable of defending itself. Okay. And like, what is the worst case scenario?
Well, there is a nation in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons and brags about it and has used them to threaten in the past.
And so, is not, you know, in any agreement and doesn't, you know, acknowledge its weapons stash anyway. So, yeah, we should really be allied with Iran, if you want my take on the whole thing.
I think we should be allied with Russia. And I don't think that's a crazy thing to say at all. And everyone goes, oh, you're a Putin puppet. You're a Putin apologist. Is that what you are, wise guy? And I'm like, no. Very clearly, no. Why are we giving $300 billion to Ukraine? Why are we seizing Russian assets when the Russians could be our energy partner and we wouldn't need China? We could ice them out and block them out. But instead of doing that, we've pushed Russia and China together with Iran.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's like, well, these people are bad. These people are evil. Why? Because we say so? Because we want to steal their resources? How about everybody's bad? Okay? Like, this is like the famous Trump clip bad. Of him saying, the famous Trump clip of him saying, so you think we're so innocent?
Right.
Right? And you know what I'm talking about there.
Well, and then you look at who we actually are allies with in the Middle East, and they're worse than Iran. I mean, I'd take Iran over Saudi Arabia any day of the week.
Look at the Syria guy, Al-Julani. Al-Shara, he's changed his name to hide his ISIS past.
Right. Yeah, that's a perfect example. Yeah, was that a better, trade-off? Now we don't have Bashar al-Assad there, but the Syrian army is now massacring minorities, which was always going to be the outcome. And that's the thing to understand, is that it's on purpose. These people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing.
Very true. And who's sheltering the Christians in Syria at the last remaining, naval military base off of the coast? It's the Russians. They've taken in the Alawites. They've taken in the Shia Muslims the Sunnis don't like, and they've taken in the Christians. And you just have to look at it. I mean, we should be at World War III already. I mean, we've been beating the drum of what's been coming for the past year or two. And people almost look at people like us or Judge Napolitano or others as like, you're crazy. You're saying all these bad things are going to happen. Nothing ever happens. Come on. Come on. If these other countries acted like the U.S. acts, we would all be dead.
Yeah.
We would all be dead already. And we'd be dead under Biden way before Trump. Okay, but there's been a lot of grace that's been given, and we just continue to slap it away. I have to believe that the American people want to choose peace and prosperity over other things, and like over war and death, it's not a contest at all.
Yeah, and of course, it's not a surprise that the other countries in the Middle East are pissed off at Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel from America, coming out and going, yeah, I don't really care what Israel
prominent
wants to do.
Prominent Israeli magician and musician.
Yeah, exactly. And he basically says, there's no limits to what they can do. They have a divine right to whatever they lay their eyes on. The whole of the Middle East is theirs, and you're just occupying it. And it's like, and you're depending on these other states for support. It's insane. And now they're saying Turkey is the new Iran. So, they haven't even taken out Iran. Yes. They're already promising the endless war.
I want to read this tweet here. So, apparently, Trump's plan for military action on Iran has been complicated by Huckabee's implied endorsement of Greater Israel, further complicating any final decision on military strikes. Arab leaders have been calling counterparts in Washington to complain about the comments from Mike Huckabee. The U.S. ambassador to Israel. In an interview with Tucker Carlson, the conservative commentator that aired Friday, Huckabee said Israel had a right to much, I think he said all, basically, in the Middle East, outraging Arab diplomats in countries that the United States is hoping will support or at least not openly oppose an American attack on Iran. I mean, just like how much disrespect do we want to give people? And I know we can slap people around. We got the military. We got the brand deals, all the countries, whatever. There's a limit to the disrespect. And there's that old saying about a straw and it breaking a camel's back. Maybe the next baseline performance where he's got the guitar out and he's dropping a sick baseline, maybe that's too much. Maybe MBS calls Trump and is like, we cannot do this anymore, brother. we have to let this go. We cannot do it anymore. So
I mean, but it's really bizarre that America at this point is controlled by these religious fanatics, whether they're they're Jewish or evangelical Christians, that are basing, and it's been this way for a while. I mean, I did a big report years ago about how in like 2003, George Bush was talking to, I think it was Sarkozy, the French president, and he's talking about Gog and Magog and the Battle of Armageddon. And the French president is like, I need a biblical scholar to explain what the hell the president of the United States is talking about, because our leadership is talking in this like, mystic, like Old Testament prophecy stuff. And they're like, what the hell? We're trying to stop a war here. And you're talking about prophecies that are being fulfilled in the, and it's like, you can believe that stuff. It shouldn't be a guiding force of our foreign policy. Dude, that's insane.
Dude, they want to blow up that mosque and they want to build that third temple and they have to have the entirely pure 100% red-haired red heifer and they got to kill like three of them, I think. And then they do some sort of sacred ritual. There's even a guy, I think it was Adam King, going around with the ashes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, This shouldn't have any place in our society, in our governing policy, in anything. Like, whatever this is, it's the same exact spirit of, like, a girl doing astrology with crystals. No thank you. All right? Verboten, demonic, enough. It's enough already.
Yeah, but then starting wars off of that.
Yes.
It's completely insane, and of course...
Well, and that's... I'm sorry to step on your point there. This is what I was going to say. They want to tell us that Iran, they make the woman wear the burqa, or they beat her with the club and all that, and she can't be a doctor. They want to say that's theocracy, evil, we have to invade, they murder the protester, blah, blah, blah. Biblical genocide. Bibi Netanyahu declared the Palestinians Amalek and then started systematically killing all of them and bombing them and dropping bombs on their heads. And they say, 30,000 protesters killed in Iran. And they say, oh, it was like 80,000 in Gaza, but 80% Hamas. And then you look at an aerial photo of Gaza, and it doesn't exist anymore. It looks like Bikini Atoll after they dropped the freaking nuke on it, man. So you want to tell me that I have to commit to American blood and treasure, American lives being lost in Iran because it's a theocracy, quote unquote, but I have to pay into and support another theocracy committing a genocide in the Middle East. Sorry. Not doing it. I don't care how much money they gave you. I don't care how nice the plane rides are, how nice the PR propaganda teams are. Enough already, all right? It doesn't matter if you get Emily Saves America or Xavier DeRousseau up there posing with the fake food. No one's buying it. Like, look at this. They want to say this is like a targeted strike. And that's like when I defecate all over my toilet. You know, and say, sorry, I didn't. And Mike, my dad, it's my apologies. We got to blurp that out. I'll shut up. Sorry, Harrison. My bad.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I was just looking. I've got a story somewhere around here. I mean,
sorry.
As of last week, there was a big Lancet story about the real number of people who had died during the genocide of Gaza.
There's a lot of numbers floating around. I like to just stick at the lowball numbers because even they're crazy. But I think more truth will come out.
So this is the latest, and you know, it turns out the Hamas controlled Gaza, you know, health ministry underplayed the number of dead. A new study in The Lancet is by far the most rigorous and serious done yet into the number of casualties in Gaza. Here's why it gives you the best indication of the real numbers. One, it used face-to-face interviews with 2,000 households and achieved a 97.2% response rate, providing a rare validation of official figures while accounting for underreporting due to hospital collapses. So basically, it took into account the fact that, like, there's no official way to even be counting all of the dead. So it says, the study's estimate of around 35% undercount aligns with a previous independent capture-recapture model published in early 2025. This methodology, convergence, gives experts higher confidence in the 75,000-plus figure. That means we need to take these figures very seriously. What they show is that there were 75,200 violent deaths between October 7, 2023 and January 5, 2025 alone. So that's not including the last year of war. Roughly 56% of those killed were women, children, or elderly individuals. Projected out... Forward, the discrepancy between those numbers and the Ministry of Health numbers would suggest well over 100,000 violent deaths. The number of indirect deaths could be well over 200,000. That's a genocide unfolding with numbers still getting higher every day.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because you got a city of 2 million people, and it's like a little bit bigger than Austin, I think. Not sure how many square miles it is, but it's around the same size. And you drop munitions on it for years straight. And like, what else is going to happen? Ultimately, it's that example Ezra Levant gave on the show. And he says, well, Alex, if someone broke in your house and killed your child, would you not go to their house? And if they had their kid and were using it as a human shield, wouldn't you shoot through their kid to kill the person? Answer is absolutely not. We believe in God. Absolutely not. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe every human life is sacred. And we have to do what we can to minimize murder. It's not an outrageous thing to go, we have to have the dead body amount go down. Okay, it's not a crazy thing to want. It's called being a human being. It's called not wanting people to die. And if you get to a point where you're some sort of politician, maybe you've seen things on TV your whole life, you don't really care. If you get to a point where you're like, 50,000 kids, women, children, who cares? You know, we got the terrorists, right? I think you should go to jail. That's my opinion. Sorry.
I agree. Criminal. We'll be right back with more, folks. Don't go anywhere. Unless you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. We'll tell you about that on the other side. Rex Jones in studio. One more segment. Stay tuned.
Harrison. Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. In studio with me, the one and only Rex Jones. Go to shroomforce.com or on Instagram at GoShroomForce. You can also follow Rex on X at Real at...
Yeah, if we could get the
Rex
gray
Jones
area,
News.
If we get the gray area up, maybe show the gray area Twitter really quick. Really appreciate anyone who goes to Shroomforce and decides to get on the newsletter or get on the wait list or want to support it any way you want. But really want to plug the gray area. I do a very phenomenal show with my co-host Tim Tompkins. We're live every Thursday and Sunday. On Sundays, we do usually a 3+ hour show. We have a phenomenal guest on, like you were talking about. Had Casey Putch on, had Fishback on, have had you on, as well as your co-host Lebanon John. So if you want to come find me and you want to see more of my broadcast media and more of my takes, just go follow Gray Area Talks on X and get started with me. We're also on YouTube and Rumble.
Absolutely. And of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. We always have fantastic sales there and all the supplements. Any new supplements you want to tell us about?
Man, I don't know. Old but gold. I created Power Plant and Methyl Drive. They're two ancillary products that are designed to be taken with Methylene Blue. I got to really brag on Power Plant. Methyl Drive is an amazing daily driver. If you want to get CoQ10 and PQQ in your system, you know, for the heart function, for the mitochondrial function, for the balance, all of it. But if you want a true performance supplement, you know, a lot of people back in the day, they loved our X3 and they loved our Super Male Vitality because it really aided in exercise and aided in performance. I wanted to figure out how I could supercharge that. So I put two of my favorite compounds, which are Rhodiola Roja, also known as Arctic Root or Golden Root. It's what the Vikings literally took on the boats, okay? It's the most powerful stuff there is. I put that together with Cordyceps Mushroom, which everyone knows boosts your oxygen carrying capacity, makes you make more energy. I put those together with a really powerful mineral blend, and it's available in the Power Drive bundle. So if you go get that or you go subscribe to it, I guarantee bang for your buck, pure power potential compared with anything else besides Methylene Blue. You're not going to find anything better. And it's even better when you take them all combined together. So get whatever products you want from the Alex Jones store. Check out Power Plant. Look it up at least.
Absolutely. And now's a great time to do it. You're getting $10 off your order just right off the bat. $10, it's yours. Plus, if you're a VIP member, that's an extra $10. So really, you can get a lot of stuff for practically free if you're a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com or for just $10 off, no matter who goes to thealexjonesstore.com. And just, yeah, a ton of fantastic products, including new T-shirt designs on almost a daily basis. And we have some very sort of aggressive and, you know, big InfoWars branded shirts, which are always very cool. But there's also just the classic Americana.
Oh, look at that. Look at that 1776 Live Free or Die. Let me tell you, I've been watching my dad wear shirts like that since I was little. So if you want to look like Alex Jones at home or on the street, you go buy that 1776 shirt right now. And hey, bundle it together with the Power Plant. Why not have total victory?
And that's 20% off right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's what keeps us on the air and in the fight in this ever more insane world.
That's right.
That we get back into now. This story, I know.
Storage wars?
The storage wars.
Are we going there? Okay.
So the story from New York Post. Jeffrey Epstein stashed secret files in storage units across the U.S. that may include unseen evidence. So according to the New York Post, Jeffrey Epstein secretly stashed computers, photographs, and other items in storage units scattered across the U.S. and paid private detectives to move the material around as investigators closed in on him, according to a new report. Financial records and emails reviewed by the Telegraph reveal the dead pedophile rented at least 6 storage lockers nationwide, some starting in 2003, and paid for them until 2019, the year he died by suicide in lockup. So, yeah, we were saying...
I just got outbid again. They're going to find the photos. It's a big problem. Hillary, please give me more money.
Bill Clinton on storage wars.
Yes.
No, we need to win this one.
I'm pretty sure it's in there, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, there's a reason why people have been so drawn to the Jeffrey Epstein story is because people are addicted to true crime, and it doesn't get any more true crime than what Jeffrey Epstein did. I mean, Zorro Ranch, the island, the hidden storage units, the giant school he turned into his pedo lair in New York.
Yep.
It's James Bond villain stuff, man.
It absolutely is. And you have to wonder how much of this stuff has slipped through the cracks. Like what was he able to get away with? Like, we know we only have like 2% of what they gathered. What they gathered is probably just a percentage of what they actually had. We even know now that the IDF or Israel itself actually ran the security at one of his houses where people slept all the time. So there's almost certainly off-site video storage of everything that went on there, probably in Tel Aviv or somewhere else. So it's
right.
Like there is so much still that we aren't hearing about, and it's like this is what happens when investigators are in on it.
I think about that island cleanup so much, man. You think about the sulfuric acid and be like, oh, there's legitimate cleaning purposes for it, whatever. Okay, I don't think you order that much. And then I think about that trap door, all right, that leads to Mama Tiger Shark, and we've talked about that before on the program. But I think about, like, they probably had to have a team of divers out there to clean up the human bones.
Yep.
That is my theory. And then you have people like Michael Trace, you'll come out and say, just because you don't have, you know, the evidence that they won't give you, you can't make these claims. And I'll just go back to Charles Barkley. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Okay. Yep. Things are being hidden from us. They're being redacted. They have the videotapes. Epstein was a film master, a cinemaphile, not just a PDF file, a cinemaphile. There were cameras set up. There are hidden cameras in all of these rooms. And then there's no tapes. There's no data. He never trafficked anybody. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And, you know, JP Morgan just paid out millions of dollars to the, I think it was JP Morgan, right? Paid out millions of dollars of settlement to the Jeffrey Epstein victims. They did that out of the goodness of their heart, not because there was a crime that went on or things like this. The former UK ambassador Mandelson has been arrested after the Epstein revelations. I bet they're going to feel like fools, right? I mean, certainly this didn't happen for any reason.
I've seen people again like Michael Tracy, and they go, well, look, they got Prince Andrew for giving him secrets. They got Peter Mandelson or whatever his name is for giving him secrets. And it's like, well, how in deep do you have to be with the person for them to give you secrets? Okay. Right. It's not like it's not the cause. It's the effect. Okay. Like this is a multi-layered operation. He was blackmail master. Yeah. That's what he was.
Absolutely. No, it's, you know, let's talk about the UK a little bit. Cause I don't know if you've seen these, but, some of the stuff coming out of the UK is just absolutely horrifying. Like I haven't even wanted to talk about this stuff because of
it's horrible. I hate watching videos of Londonistan and all of it. Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's and some of the descriptions are worse than you can possibly imagine. But let's go ahead and start with clip 12 here, because this lays out exactly why Peter Mandelson was arrested. Let's watch.
No mistake about it, Mark. This is a seismic moment, not only for Peter Mandelson, but for British politics as a whole. 6 months ago, the man that you can see in the pictures was the British ambassador to Washington, one of the maybe half dozen most powerful figures in this country, personally appointed by Keir Starmer, against elements even of his own better judgment, persuaded of it, we believe, by his then chief of staff, Morgan McSweeney, because he was thought to be the only man who could bridge the divide with Donald Trump's White House after the US president returned to the White House for the second time. Peter Mandelson believed to be the only person who could help Britain and sort out its trading and relationship with the US at this tricky time. Today, being taken away, as you can see, by police. Peter Mandelson has denied any wrongdoing, but I suspect there will be a lot of focus on those emails that we heard so much about, emails from the last time Gordon Brown was in the British government, when Peter Mandelson was in the British government. When Gordon Brown was Prime Minister, Peter Mandelson, then Business Secretary, alleged to have forwarded emails, that's what the Epstein emails suggested, forwarded emails to Jeffrey Epstein, potentially containing confidential government material. The allegation that he tipped off Jeffrey Epstein about an impending EU bailout and that he notified the financier about the activities of the British government and gave advice to big US bankers to mildly threaten the then UK Chancellor.
All right, so just some more information about the arrest of Peter Mandelson and what was behind it. But again, it's just worth watching to be like, yeah, this is how everybody should be reacting. This is the exact process. And really, it should be to an even greater degree. But at least there, you have an example of, like, the claims were made, things were discovered in the email, investigation started. Here a week later, he's being arrested because more information has been found. We haven't even seen a sliver of similar activity here in America.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to how much more gangster, you know, our establishment is. Because over there, they're old school. Like, hey, you know, someone's got to go for a way for all this. Someone's got to take a fall. You understand? We made you not a prince anymore. We're gonna send you to the jail for 6 months. We're sorry we had to do it to you. Over here, it's like Crips and Bloods shooting each other on PCP in the street. anything that can be weaponized. Like, if a Democrat is in the files, they'll do everything we can about Bill Clinton, but then we're also in the files, so we can't go after it there. And it's just this whole thing to as to that there's no congruency of thought. And the public is seeing this in regards to the file. It's nothing, but all the names are redacted and you can't release anything. It's just they don't want to be hypocrites because they know that's going to make them lose the support of the public. So even if it's symbolic, they will bury someone over in Europe. We will not do it because everyone's got to scratch somebody else's back.
No, it's ridiculous. And it's embarrassing that the UK is doing it, especially when the UK has basically been a rapeocracy for the last couple of decades. Like, that's what's the confusing part to me is, like, I expect UK to be worse than us at everything because they're basically committing suicide on a national scale.
Right.
But then they're able to pull off stuff like this or even other stuff when it comes to Europe. It's similar to, like, California stuff, too. He's sweating now. That's funny.
Yeah, I just don't think we care about our system. And I think the people at the top don't care about the system because it's a smash-and-grab game. It's a home invasion. They're going to get what they want. They're going to tie the family up, and then they're going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, overseas, I think they have more long-term calculus. Even if their economy is over and their demographics are done, at least they want to maintain the integrity of their system. Let me tell you right now, 10 years, American politics are going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's going to be, we'll be here. It'll be very interesting to watch it develop. But because of the actions that are being taken today, the old system is slitting its own wrists in the bathtub. That's what's happening.
That's certainly how it feels. And again, to look at UK and how bad it's gotten there, Rupert Lowe, of course, is leading the charge on all of this. But I want to go to a couple of videos to just explain how thoroughly involved the UK, you know, infrastructure, their actual power structure is in all of this. Let's go to clip 18 here. They're talking about basically what they decided was you get one rape free. Basically, in the UK, I'm not even kidding. If they found out that you were part of a grooming gang raping white children, they would give you a warning and ask you to stop.
Well, see, 2 years in prison, you know, offensive speech online, but hey, you little grape time, nothing wrong with that. We'll let you, you know, first strike is not a problem.
First strike's not a problem, and then they don't actually log that anywhere, so then the next time you do it, they're going to also think it's a first time, so you just keep getting first strikes over and over. And the person who came up with this and the person who set this into motion was, of course, current Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Let's watch clip 18.
Wow.
We'll start. How did you get to the bottom of this investigation?
Right, so this all came from, I was looking into grooming gangs in London, and I was looking through investigations that didn't really come to pass, but there being strong evidence of there being a grooming gang. And one of the lines that we noticed was a girl who'd been coerced to go to a hotel, been raped by multiple men, and then one of the officers had said, why don't we give them a child abduction warning notice? So immediate question that me and my colleague that were looking at this had was, okay, what's one of those? And when we dug in...
Yeah, one of those should be a bullet.
Yeah,
that's what the notice is. Okay, you do that, we'll give you a notice. All right, we'll come give it to you in person. I mean, that's wild. And if you say that over there, I'm sure they'd throw you in prison for 5 years.
Yeah,
but we're not over there, are we? You know,
they need our help. We need to be running guns to the UK. But yeah, no,
outrageous. I'm sorry to pause there. It's crazy. Well, we're going to give them a warning, and that will solve the problem. And it's like, well, you know, Abdul, you've done 27 rapes, and you know, we're going to have to give you a strongly worded letter next time. It doesn't work that way. You have to stop the behavior.
No, it's good. It's completely insane. Let's go back. It gets worse because it's not all of them who got a warning. They would pick one person to give that one person a warning. Yeah, yeah. It's worse than you think.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah.
More and more. What we essentially found was that in the years that followed the Rotherham Rochdale scandals, the police were looking around for a way to tackle this massive problem, which had always been there, but people they were turning a blind eye to, right? And these paedophile ASBOs were kind of the perfect response. Because what they would do was, when they would come up with a concerning situation with a child, or actually even worse than that, clear evidence of exploitation or child rape, they would give one of the suspects one of these warning notices. Now, in the bit that you just read, they said that they're effective. That is complete nonsense, right? We went through to see whether there was any test of whether these things were effective. And the research, you just see a long trail of academics all saying, we need to do more research to see whether these warning notices actually work. Now, the Keir Starmer bit kind of came at the end, Because when we were going through it, we were kind of like, OK, so the police started using these to tackle them. When did they come about? Well, Mr. Starmer, who is quite keen to talk about in the House of Commons, I was the Rochdale prosecutor. I was the first person to do that. Mm. The first mention that we find is in the report that you've put up on the screen, where it talks about drafting and agreeing them with police chiefs. Mm. Now, why on earth the CPS was drafting and agreeing a tool for police chiefs to be using for this, I don't know. But the name on the top of that document is Keir Starmer. And they can say, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on. When he wants to be involved as being the Grooming Gang's prosecutor, he is. And when there's something that's a bit inconvenient, like this, which has been used, it's the number one tool. Disruption is the number one way that the British police deal with child sexual exploitation.
Mm, indeed.
So,
what a joke.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, okay, Peter Mandelson was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, but your entire system has covered up things that are worse than you can even find in the Epstein files. I mean, the latest statement from the rape gang inquiry under Robert Lowe is truly horrifying. But yeah,
you want me to read it? You want to give it to me?
I can read it. I'll put it here and we can read it. But just before we do, I mean, there's a reason Keir Starmer is prime minister, right? And it was that right there. He actually was instrumental in helping to cover up and perpetuate the rape gang scandal. That's why he was made prime minister. Make no mistake about it. So now that they're all angry that, you know, this guy was connected to Jeffrey Epstein, it's like, fine, but your entire system is built on the back of industrial level rape.
Yeah, the cultural suicide is really something to behold, right? And that's why you talked about, like, not even wanting to watch stuff going on in the UK, because, like, this is cartoon bad. I mean, a rape gang does something to a little kid, and then they give one of them a letter? I think I know what happened. When the West dropped capital punishment and said it was too mean and it was too cruel and you can't do this to people and everybody's got to have a chance because you can't give the state all this power, what happened? We've started killing all the wrong people and we've started paying to keep all the right people alive.
Yep.
I would like to see that turn on its head a little bit. That's my honest take on this, because you shouldn't be getting a letter. You should be getting something else. Expedited.
Yeah, and whoever sent the letter should also be receiving this treatment. I mean, the whole system has got to go at this point. And I'll read this, but, you know, fair warning, content warning here. If you're listening with little kids, turn it off right now. Viewer discretion is advised. I'm not joking about that. I don't want to read this, but you got to understand what's actually going on. This is from Rupert Lowe, who, of course, is running the Restore Britain party to undo the damage that's been done. This has to do with it's a statement from the rape gang inquiry, and they talk about a survivor of one of these rape gangs. The survivor's violent gang rape and abuse began at the age of 12 when she was raped multiple times per day over many years. The rapes were filmed and used as blackmail. The survivor has stated that multiple police officers were active perpetrators. Money was exchanged openly, and this destroyed her ability and willingness to seek help. Police vehicles were used to traffic her, and some of the other abuse events were called cop nights.
Wow.
The extreme pain she suffered included filmed torture in places called red rooms. The torture included waterboarding and strangulation by rope. Distressingly, she was raped by a dog, filmed, and forced to rewatch the footage as men placed bets.
Wow.
During this specific period of abuse, she witnessed the murder of at least three girls, one of whom was allegedly killed as a punishment for speaking to the police force.
Harrison's got a hard job, guys. Look at what Harrison has to stare into to do the show. Look what he has to report on. Look at what he has to cover, because the mainstream media won't do it because they're all complicit in covering up this garbage. This should be the top story everywhere, but it's the top story nowhere.
It's like beyond horrifying. And when you learn that the police are involved, I mean, put yourself in this little girl's shoes. I mean, she was 12 years old.
Yes.
Police officers are raping her and girls are being killed in front of her for going to the police.
And you're like, you're supposed to look at the authority to help you, and you're like, why are you hurting me? And they're laughing at you. It's disgusting. They all got to die.
And I guarantee you the police were made police officers specifically because it was like, well, these poor Pakistanis, they don't like being policed by white people, and that makes them feel bad. To feel more, you know, involved, we need to put them in police uniforms so that they can be a part of the community. And then you've got rape gang members in the police force.
Liberal, liberal, liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. And not only that, and I've put on this 6 years ago, I think, at this point, but, you know, more people are finding more accounts where they were also running orphanages, right? They would put these people in charge of orphanages. No, literally, they would run orphanages like brothels. So, like, imagine being a child who has lost their family, who has nobody else looking for them, and the state-run orphanage is literally lending you out on a daily basis.
And that culture, the migrant rape gang culture, it pairs so well with the British elite. They're simpatico. I mean, look at Jimmy Savile. Okay, yep. This guy would donate to hospitals with paralyzed wards, and he would go in there and do things to paralyzed children.
Yep.
Okay, so they say, okay, we've got a new permanent underclass that's going to be a part of our scams and a part of our murder campaigns and a part of our rape campaign. Great, right on aboard. And that's the real death of the UK.
Yeah. No, it's beyond horrifying, and I don't know if we have time to go to this final clip.
This guy is like a demon from hell, and this guy, I think he died of natural causes. He never saw a jail cell. He was a knight, right? I think he's a knight as well. It's beyond anything.
Yep.
We're glad this guy's gone. He's partying with the devil in the lake of fire right now.
Yeah, and again, it's been that way for a while. It's not a coincidence that the British royalty was involved with Jeffrey Epstein.
It's a culture.
It is a culture, and it's a I don't understand it, obviously, because I can't put myself in the mindset of these people. But I think you're right that there's some sort of fellow feeling with the Pakistani rape gangs. And that is certainly a part of why the cover-up was allowed to happen, because the class system in Britain is still so strong and prevalent that a lot of people just thought, these lower-income, lower-class girls are getting in trouble. Well, that's what the lower class does. You know, they don't look after their kids, and their kids are all, messed up, and that's just what happens.
We played that video of King Charles and that one lone protester saying, like you're covering up for, the abuse of children and yelling at him, trying to get him to acknowledge some truth. And you got the British people going, God save the king. How dare you? How dare you criticize? I don't even know what you call him. Like, he's not no king to me. He's just Charles. Unc Charles. They're just fawning over him and worshiping him. And the one guy who's trying to call it out, they shout him down the most. I want to make this point because obviously it's a cultural problem. Obviously the Pakistani rape gangs, they do this. But beyond anything, you have to understand there's the racial narrative that gets people incensed on both sides, because maybe you're a minority. You're like, why are they coming after the Pakistanis? Or maybe you're a white person or a British person. You're like, I don't want these people in my country. Well, why are they in your country? The elite class in your country pairs with them perfectly. So it's the same exact system. And we've got to realize the meta level conclusion, which is these systems, they got to go.
Yeah,
they got to go. Because, like, if you hurt a kid, you shouldn't be alive. Right. I think it's that simple. I think Dan Bilzerian put up a poll, and he said, like, if you do anything to someone under the age of 12, instant death. And I think it should be much more loose than that. But, yeah. I mean, that's a good place to start.
And all the people covering it up, again, this was a systemic thing.
Yes.
And you hear that word a lot, or Schwartz, it's a systemic, we're in a patriarchy. But, like, no. The police were in on it. The lawyers were in on it. The people in the highest realms of the government were in on it and helping to cover it up in order to not look racist. But, like, I can't even buy that as an excuse, right? I mean, that just seems like...
That's the low-level brain rot they get to control people. At the upper level, the people that are in positions of power, whether that's government or finance in the UK, they know this is how they roll.
Yeah.
This is what they do. Yeah, look at that. I mean, like, it's overwhelmingly positive. This is what people want. In America, across the world, we're not getting it because the people that are elected to, run the government, they don't work for us. They work for the people that are committing the crimes.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Mary Tiles, Texas, investigate the people who said no.
Yeah.
That's basically, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And again, it's great that all this stuff is coming out. But, like, yeah, you got to do something about it. We have to do something extreme about all
of this. It's not extreme. We have to do what's right. This is not a crazy thing to ask for. This is not, oh, you're loopy, you're wild. Let's go back to living in a polite society where certain things aren't tolerated.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that ties us into what we started covering at the beginning of this episode, which is what's going on in Mexico and the level of tolerance of corruption that it can get to. What we have in the West is a beautiful and wonderful and almost impossible to achieve thing, and we are losing it very rapidly because of these pedophile scumbags that just control all the strings. We have to seize them back with alacrity and intensity. Rex Jones, follow him at Rex Jones News with a Z on X on Instagram. It's at Go Shroom Force, and go to shroomforce.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Rex.
Politically, not violently. Thank you for having me on the show, man.
We want to politically and nonviolently kill all of these people.
We love it. We love it. Thank you for being here with us tonight on the War Room.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
People can use this as a teaching moment. that, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. That it, part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you want, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking to, for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.